The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The most dangerous media outlet in the state of Colorado. Peter Boyles in the morning on 710 KNUS.
26th of June morning, everyone. It's a Wednesday. The things that are said. 90 will be the high today and 92 on Thursday and 93 on Friday. Coming up, Jennifer Schubert Aiken, her piece she did on socialism and history. And then Ryan Fraser. I've never met him. He is running for the mayor of Aurora. Casey likes him. And he's in studio with us as well. In the meantime, this is a real true favorite. His name is Mel Ayton. He lives in Great Britain. He's a historian about a number of things, events in our country. And the last time he was with us, we had just gone through what was taking place in Iran. He was on the air with us, but we had to pull out to go with the most, the significant story of the day. Today, we caught a break. It's kind of a slowdown time, and it's perfect to have Mel back. Thank you, sir. Welcome back, and good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and thank you for having me back.
Well, of course. Since the last time we spoke, there's a new book. I think I got an advance on it, and it's called Kennedy Heirs, EIRS. Have you seen the book? Have you seen it yet?
J. Randall Tarabarelli.
Yeah, absolutely.
An excellent writer on the Kennedy family. I've read all his books, yes.
I began this one.
Except for this one, because it didn't come out till the 1st of July UK.
That's why I think I have an advance, or maybe I just have a publishing copy. But I read him the first time when he wrote about Michael Jackson, and I'm looking forward to talking to him because since all the different turns in the Michael Jackson story, I wonder what he is going to say. But he really is an excellent, excellent historian.
And he is.
And these are the children of Bobby and Ethel Kennedy, of course, Jackie and Jack, of Ted Kennedy and the Shrivers and all the people that next generation and now even a generation of them, Bob's kids now have kids. And it's all very sad stuff. It isn't, and it's that family. And I knew I was going to talk to you. And the power of the Kennedys, or the so-called Kennedy curse. Mel, what do you do with that?
Well, you know, people are using terms like the Kennedy curse. I think Ed Klein's book is called The Kennedy Curse.
It is.
And, you know, you can quite understand why people use that term, because so many members of the Kennedy family, were killed under really tragic circumstances. But really, to say it was a curse, obviously, you know, if you accept the supernatural idea, then fine. You know that, but personally, no. It's tragedy within one family, and that's how you can explain it.
But you know, and I'm not one of those people that would believe in a supernatural as well. But man, I've kind of like you, and I'm not even in your league, but fixated on Jack, and you know, you go back to the original brother, Joe, that was going to be, he was the heir apparent, and then Joe dies on that mission leaving England. Jack gets hurt really badly on the boat.
Well, before that, you had Kathleen, of course.
And I was going to bring Kit.
You married into our aristocracy in the UK.
Dies in a plane crash.
She died in a plane crash in France, going to France.
Yeah. And
It's just a litany.
And then the sister.
And, you know, you fast forward, say, to Ted Kennedy, and you've got, you know, Ted Kennedy's son had a leg amputated.
That's right.
Bone cancer. It's really, all of it is really horrible. It's tragic. Mm-hmm. And what's remarkable is the stoicism of Rose Kennedy.
Oh, but then I was going to put an addendum. John dies in a plane crash.
Yes.
Kick dies. And they lobotomize the daughter. And, you know, in the middle.
Rosemary, yeah.
Yeah, and then, there's, and then there's Joe, and there's the ambassador, who people really hated him, really, truly hated him.
Yeah. You know, Pete, I met Ted Kennedy on two occasions, once in 89, and the next time in 1994. And each time, you know, because I had just not very long, it was, you know, I was a friend of a friend, you might say. So it was meeting in the reception room of the Senate. And so it was more or less on both occasions a short chat. But I was really tempted to ask him two questions. Mm-hmm. I couldn't because I knew these would be very upsetting. One was the what we are talking about now, which is the Kennedy curse, and what were his views about it. And the second one, which everybody wanted to probably ask him, which was the Chappaquiddick
incident. Sure. Well, remember Roger.
But I didn't. And but you know, we talked. I mentioned Robert Kennedy, how I, you know, really supported Robert Kennedy in my youth, and that I thought he would make it to the presidency. But as soon as I mentioned Robert Kennedy, he was a bun killer. He was very, you know, sort of had a nice, really a nice personality, very cheery. But as soon as I mentioned his brother Robert, he just went silent and he looked, and I could detect a tear in his eye.
But there, again, Mel Ayton's with us, and I believe this. I believe if you were to understand John Kennedy's murder, his assassination, that's a jumping off point for this country. And we have moments in this country, Pearl Harbor, 9/11, VJ Day, Harry Truman beats Dewey, Jack Kennedy's death, Jack Kennedy's murder, Richard Nixon's resignation. I'm an amateur history reader, but I see these as jumping off points or ends or starts.
Turning points. Yeah.
You know, call them, you know, put any name on them you want, but when John Kennedy is killed, and you know, history is not a game of what ifs. But had Jack Kennedy lived, would he have ended as Lyndon Johnson did?
There's a great possibility that that may have happened.
Yeah.
Remember, in 1964, a book came out which was linking Bobby Kennedy to Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, yeah.
Let's say, you know, none of this, you know, it didn't happen at the time that John Kennedy was president.
Did it not, though? Because Jack dumps her.
But there was...
Jack dumps her.
Pardon? Sorry?
And Jack dumps Marilyn Monroe, and doesn't Bob become her lover?
Well, you know, there's a lot of evidence out there to suggest it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's really a complex issue, Peter, in that, you know, some of the witnesses are a bit flaky. Peter Lawford was coming out with a lot, but at the time he was on drugs.
But Lawford, but yes, Peter
you know,
Lawford.
I will give that there is the possibility that Robert Kennedy have an affair. But the point I'm making is in terms of John Kennedy's re-election in 64, had he not been assassinated. Now, in 1964, if some of the stuff came out, which later came out in the early 70s about his promiscuity, his mistresses, if that had been released, because an awful lot of... I remember being in Washington, D.C., and outside the White House, and I got chatting to a journalist who actually knew Jack Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy, and he used to attend the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., and we got chatting about a lot of things, and he told me, he said, well, look, we all knew, all the journalists knew what Jack Kennedy was up to. Now, I believe, obviously, you know, morals have changed, but at that time in America, had that been known, I think, you know, it could have, look, the very fact that he was having an affair, a woman who at the same time was having an affair with a mobster, could have led to his impeachment.
Well, the woman you're talking
about. It could have been worse, yeah. You know, than Lyndon Johnson's standing right. down. You know, it could have been a lot
but
worse.
That's why, the impeachment. That's why that moment that we're talking about, the woman's Judith Exton or Campbell, it's Sam Giancana. Yeah. There's no doubt that, I mean, I wish I'd spoken to her at least once, and I had we had opportunity back then. She didn't like phone interviews, but there's no question she was.
Yeah,
she was.
Well, Judith Campbell Exton, you know, had flaws in her story as well.
Sure, of course.
However, having said that, though, look, more each year, new stuff was coming out, and you know, I eventually decided that there was a lot of veracity to her story.
Oh yeah. Our guest is the one and only Mel Ayton. We're talking about just what he does so well. But here's one, too. When the assassinations, when the House subcommittee meets, and they subpoena two people, two important people, at least in my mind, Johnny Rosselli, and there's a new book out about Johnny Rosselli that I recommend. It's really well done. And the other
I read the book.
Yeah.
Handsome Johnny.
Yeah, Handsome Johnny.
Yeah,
we did the guy on the show. Did you like the book? I thought the book was great. I thought the book was well done.
Yeah, the book was great, yeah.
Yeah, and they go after Johnny Rosselli, and they go after Sam Giancana. And both of them are dead. They murder both of them. Johnny gets taken out on a boat. They cut him up, put him in a 55-gallon drum.
That's right.
And then Sam gets shot around the mouth, which is, you know, the mark of the squealer. And they've both been subpoenaed before the House. And why would they be killed? Why would those two guys be whacked?
Right. Sam Giancana. You know, Tony Arcado was mob boss before Sam Giancana. Yeah. Sam Giancana took over. Sam Giancana was in, well, a lot of trouble. He went down to Mexico to live. He came back to Chicago.
He
wanted
skipped.
To take over the reins of power again.
Yeah,
now, Tony Arcado... really is the man responsible for that murder. But I know what you mean. It's suspicious. They were about to testify, or one of them actually did testify.
Yeah.
That was Roselli.
Roselli, but
remember in the Handsome Johnny, I think it's called Handsome Johnny, is that right, Peter?
That's exactly right.
Yeah. I mean, I read that about a month or two ago, and really there was nothing in it of any credible evidence which would support the idea.
But he took the fifth.
That he had inside knowledge of the JFK assassination.
Yeah, but he took the fifth.
He had inside knowledge, of course, about the attempts on Castro.
But why would they took the fifth? But why would I mean, all of these guys. The other one is Jimmy Hoffa. I mean, and the book, The Hoffa Wars, that I like, and the stuff between Bobby Kennedy and so Jimmy comes out of prison, comes out of Lewisburg, and comes out of prison with a pardon from Nixon, thinking he had like 8 more months to do or 10 more months to do. And one of the stipulations they make with Fitz and those guys, you can't take the union back. And then, and all of those guys, I see them much, and they all knew each other. Johnny Rosselli.
Yep.
Johnny Rosselli knew Jimmy Hoffa. Jimmy Hoffa knew Sam Giancana.
That's right.
They all knew each other.
You know, Frank Fitzsimmons, who took over from Hoffa, didn't want, well, the mob didn't. Look, the mob were able to deal with Frank Fitzsimmons easier than Jimmy Hoffa.
Of course.
Frank Fitzsimmons was a pushover. Really, they didn't want Hoffa back.
No, they didn't want Hoffa back. And there's another guy that plays on, a guy named Jackie Presser. And Jackie Presser was the other guy. And they, the mob did not, and neither Richard Nixon didn't want Jimmy Hoffa back.
Yep.
And so they killed Jimmy Hoffa. And this new, I believe that you paint houses, I heard you paint houses. I think that's a true story. It was the Buffalinos, and they killed him.
There's... Can I just say this,
sure.
Peter? A friend of mine, you know, is Dan Muldeer. Mm-hmm. Dan Muldeer and I discussed this in Washington last year. Now, Dan Muldeer met with Martin Scorsese. Oh. He didn't meet Martin. He met with Robert De Niro to discuss, because Robert De Niro wanted Dan's story about Jimmy Hoffa. He was... talking about to Martin Scorsese about making this movie, which is coming out shortly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dan says that it's not true that the hitman named did it.
Who did it?
Well, Dan insists that it was the, you know, it was Tony Pro who fell out with Jimmy Hoffa.
They fell out.
He was the Teamsters.
They fought.
There was the Bergoglio brothers. There was Buffalino, another mobster involved. Yeah. And between them, you know, they organized Hoffa's demise.
I'll tell you a sidebar story. They were all in prison together with Gordon Liddy. This is honest to God how this world works.
Yep.
And they're in Lewisburg, and Gordon Liddy's there, Tony Provenzano's there, Jimmy Hoffa's there, and I got this shirt tail relationship with Liddy when Liddy came out of Lewisburg, and we first became, I don't know if we're friends, but I first met him, and he was telling me, I had lunch with him, and he said, Tony Provenzano ended up in a fight with Jimmy Hoffa in Lewisburg.
That's right. In the prison is where
the fight took place. And then they couldn't, they engineered to get Jimmy out, and it was Fitz and the Buffalinos and everybody, but they got him out to blunt him. He was not allowed back in the union. He wanted his union back. And I'm kind of a Jimmy fan. And, I've told people that where I grew up, our guest is the one and only Mel Ayton. I just love him. I grew up in Pittsburgh and all those bars on Allegheny River Boulevard. I don't know about it anymore, but back in the time, if you went in those bars and said something bad about Jimmy Hoffa, you better duck, because the Teamsters loved Jimmy.
They did. And that's true.
And so,
which meant that the mob was frightened of having Jimmy.
Jimmy
Hoffa didn't accede to all the mob's wishes.
That's my point. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
But Fitzsimmons did.
And Fitz did, and Jackie Presser did, and.
And Jackie Pressey, yeah.
What do you do with all that? I mean, I know that, you know, I think you have Bobby Kennedy down, and I think that Hellhound on his tail, I think they have the King murder down. The King murder still has a lot of questions, and Bobby Kennedy still has a lot of questions. It's Jack. That's.
Can I make a suggestion?
Of course.
It would be great. You know, I think the person, you know, discussing the subject of Jimmy Hoffa, really, I think you should get Dan Mulday on your show. I'm sure he'd be willing.
I told him.
Because that, certainly with the movie coming out. Yeah. The movie's called The Irishman,
yeah,
I believe.
Well, yeah, but they remember it's I Heard You Paint Houses. And I
read that's from the book, I Heard You Paint Houses,
yeah.
It's based on that book.
It is that book.
The movie coming out, I think Dan Mulday, okay. I think he can go through this story much better than me. Dan's the expert on
let's do this one.
Jimmy Hoffa case.
I think, you know, you've settled, you know, on the killing of Bobby Kennedy, which, you know, was Bobby killed because he was running for president, or was Bobby killed because he was pro the state of Israel and anti-Palestinians by Sirhan?
Well, you can't say he was killed because he was pro state of Israel, because Sirhan had more than one motive. He had the personal motive. He was a loser in life, and he fit the profile of an assassin made by psychiatrists hired by the Secret Service. He was a nobody who wanted to be a somebody. He was a loser in life. He was anti-Semitic to the extreme. He was a fanatic. Despite the protestations of conspiracy writers who ignore the wealth of evidence, time after time, they keep on. This is one of the myths of the assassination, actually, because they try to remove the motive from Sirhan. Because their thinking is that if they remove the motive, then it's more likely that he was a tool of conspiracists. Because he had no motive. It's more likely he was a hypnotized assassin, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't, you know, remove the facts of the case. And the facts of the case are that time and time, the vast majority of his own relatives, his own brothers, his friends, his real friends, his employer, John Widener, for example. Now, this is a vast amount of people compared to the one or two people that the conspiracy writers bring forth and say, oh, well, Sirhan didn't have any interest in politics. I mean, that is risible. I mean, it's absolute nonsense. So the motive for Sirhan was personal. He wanted infamy. He wanted to be a famous assassin. He was anti-Semitic. He hated Jews vehemently. And he wanted to be a hero for the Palestinian people. Now, the reason why, and he said time and time again, both before the assassination and after, he had all of these sentiments. But it was ignored by the public at the time. As Alan Dershowitz, who wrote the foreword to my second edition of my book, has written, you know, the American public didn't know what Palestine was at the time. They had no idea about Sirhan's background. So they called him a Jordanian immigrant. Now, he was a Jordanian immigrant, but first and foremost, he was a Palestinian nationalist. And so the press at the time, the public couldn't understand this. And as Alan Dershowitz wrote, you know, now we know.
That one and Dr. King and Jack Kennedy, and there were some minor murders that took place. And is there a vastness, and it's a bad choice of words, into that time period? Because, you know, Jack's killed in 63, and the arrival of Lyndon Johnson, that changes a lot of things. You know, we have had presidents die in office. We've had presidents impeached and removed. We've had assassinations of presidents McKinley, Garfield, Lincoln. But the real game change, I think, in some ways, was the arrival of LBJ. And, you know, and I think that from that moment, and I'm going to take a break and come back and have you talk to that, from the second that John Kennedy dies in Dealey to the moment that Richard Nixon resigns, what a time. And I think, you know, as wonderful historians write, all is prelude. And then what we're talking about, not you and I right now, but what we're watching today is prelude to the next. And I realize it's kind of an interesting question, and I ask it of myself. So John Kennedy's dead in 63, and Richard Nixon resigns. What happens in that time period? And of course, that's, I mean, Bob Kennedy's killed, Dr. King's killed, but so much other things are taking place as well. When we come back, would you take a second and give me your thoughts about that time period and what that means for our country today? The one and only, Mel Ayton's with us. And Jennifer Schubert Aiken coming up, did a good piece on socialism and history. And then Ryan Fraser, running for mayor of Aurora, and I've never met him before. Casey's a good guy. And, you know, Dick says this, never be in this position. Someday you may need to defend yourself or others. And if and when that time comes, and you practice, you prepare Centennial Gun Club. We do it every month. It's great. It's the Concealed Carry Refresher Course. Learn to continue your training. Maintain proficiency. Red flags coming. I would urge you. It's the Wednesday night, July the 24th. You got a long time to think about this. From 6 until 8, Centennial Gun Club, the Concealed Carry Refresher Course, especially for 710 listeners, for $7.10. $7.10. Bring your kids. Bring your family. There's no guns involved. It's 2 hours. It's a beautiful classroom. They're on Arapahoe Road, and they're our friends. Centennial Gun Club, visit their website, centennialgunclub.com/Peter Boyles, or excuse me, just slash Peter, centennialgunclub.com/Peter, and sign up now.
Good Wednesday morning to you. Today is Bike to Work Day, so expect to see a lot of bicyclists out here. It's a good drive so far. Overnight construction wrapped up, a nice drive along the highways, definitely getting heavier. I-76 in the Commerce City area, 270 starting to load up there both directions. I-70 across town looks great, heading out to DIA, no problems. 225, the Aurora Drive is clear. I-25 also running trouble-free downtown to the Tech Center, no trouble along C-470 or Highway 36. I'm Susan Thielen.
This report is sponsored by Compassion International. You can change the world for a child in extreme poverty through Compassion International. Just text CHILD to 833-93 to find out how.
Coming up on Wednesday's program, the Democratic presidential debates begin. We'll preview it and invite you to join the 710 Virtual Debate Watch Party. Follow us on Twitter and get into the discussion with hashtag KNUS Debate. The latest on Google's secret plan to manipulate algorithms ahead of the 2020 election. And an update on the Stapleton name change. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, both at Tubbs Show. Hope you join us.
The Stephen Tubbs Show, weekday afternoons from 4 to 7, right after Chuck and Julie on News Talk 710.
710 KNUS.
I'm a Vietnam veteran.
I always knew that I was going to join the military.
My grandfather pulled out his own military uniform and actually let me put it on.
The greatest thing you could ever do in your life is to change and impact the world around you.
Anybody that has ever served in the military has that sense of serving others.
I wanted to keep the people of the United States safe.
Being a veteran comes with a responsibility.
My role is being a protector.
We're born a proud country. We need to keep it that way. Boot Barn.
Did you know there's a lot of competition in selling beef around the globe? Your checkoff helps make sure that the U.S. is in the running to capture a substantial share of this international business. Foreign marketing efforts focus on the three D's: develop, displace, and defend. Develop new markets, displace competition, and defend by holding market share. Find out more about how your checkoff dollars are invested to strengthen market access at mybeefcheckoff.com. Paid for by Your Beef Checkoff.
Brought to you by the Colorado Beef Council.
Home prices have gone up by 50% in the last 6 years. However, it seems values are peaking. You've probably also heard the Federal Reserve has raised the Fed funds rate four times in 2018 alone. But mortgage rates have actually dropped by 0.5 point since late last fall. Maybe it's time to put that equity to work, like paying off very high credit cards, student loans, or remodel your house. Hi, I'm Wesley Hoagland with Westland Financial. Let us put you in a position to do any of these things with no closing costs. That's right. Nothing's rolled into your loan, whether it's conventional, FHA, or VA. We'll pay your title, settlement, lender, and recording fees. Or maybe you just want to refinance out of your mortgage insurance. All it takes is a five-minute phone call to see how we can save you thousands of dollars a year. So call Westland at 888-455-3669. It's the biggest no-brainer in the history of mankind. Call us at 888-455-3669. That's 888-455-3669. 888-455-3669.
NMLS number 3304. Not all loans apply. Equal housing lender.
In the summer, it's hot in the upstairs bedrooms most of the day. My office is up there, man, and it's sweltering. So we use one of those big fans in the evening, but it pulls in too much dust and pollen. My allergies are going crazy. So my AC is running constantly, and the only cool place in the house is the basement. My wife started insisting we buy a new air conditioner, and that's when I called the people at AirSwap. AirSwap showed me my furnace and air conditioner are the right size for my house, and my air conditioner was working just fine. They adjusted the ductwork, created stronger airflow to distribute all that cool air in the basement, and this even helped us save electricity. The house is more comfortable in the winter, too. They reduced the big temperature difference between the floors, and now the upstairs is comfortable during the day and early evening. Yeah, I'd call AirSwap, 303-761-0729. 303-761-0729. And you can check them out on the web at air-swap.com. Air-swap.com. That's 303-761-0729 or air-swap.com. Yeah, I'm really glad I called AirSwap.
Don't sweat through another summer with inefficient windows and doors. With Pella Windows and Doors from DreamStyle, your home will be more comfortable and beautiful, and they'll help you save money on your energy bills. Save $229 per window and $629 per patio door. And pay nothing for 12 months with our special financing. DreamStyle Remodeling featuring Pella. Visit DreamStyleWindows.com to schedule your free consultation. That's DreamStyleWindows.com.
It's always truck month at Stevenson Chevrolet, and the strongest, most advanced Silverado ever is on sale. Save up to $10,000 off MSRP on the all-new 2019 Silverado 1500, or save 10% on the 2019 Colorado with over 50 to choose from. Stevenson has a truck for everyone. Stevenson Chevrolet at I-70 and West Colfax in Lakewood, or online at StevensonChevrolet.com. Chevy, find new roads. Stock number 95220. Dealer retains all rebates. Expires July 1st, 2019.
This tax tip presented by Tax Representation. Want to maximize your tax return this year? Well, now's the time to make sure you've got some type of filing system in order to organize receipts, tax forms, and charitable contributions. Once you've got everything in one place, filing your return will be a breeze. Tax Representation. Do you owe more than $10,000 in taxes to the IRS? There are programs that can reduce or eliminate your debt now. Call Tax Representation at 800-556-7089 for more information.
Academy Award winner Kevin Costner stars in Yellowstone. Don't miss the return of cable's number one new drama, Yellowstone. Season 2, tonight at 10, 9 Central on the new Paramount Network.
Question, would you seat your 3-year-old child on a windowsill? And would you seat them in a car seat that's not the correct one? Secure their future. Seat them in the correct car seat. More info at safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We now return to the Peter Boyle Show.
Wednesday morning, the 26th of June. Talk radio here to stay. 90 will be the high, 92 tomorrow, 93 on Friday. 710 Kane, U.S. historian, writer. He's a true favorite. Mel Eaton is with us, and I posed a question prior to the break because he focuses on the three assassinations of the 60s, Bobby Kennedy in particular now, but Jack and, of course, Dr. King, and this theory that the moment that John Kennedy dies in Dealey to the second that Richard Nixon resigns, and in that time period, the stage gets set. Mel, overview, what do you think of that?
During the time when JFK was assassinated, America had come through with its allies, especially Britain, won the Second World War, defeated Nazism. In the 1950s, under Eisenhower, it was a period of quietude, economic growth, the space program. It was a very exciting time coming into the 60s. After the assassination of John Kennedy, then you had the growth of the Vietnam War. You had the Civil Rights Movement. Now, the Civil Rights Movement, remember, was a great thing for America. But, you know, passing laws didn't change people's hearts, and passing laws didn't make the economics of African Americans any better. So that made African Americans, I believe, more frustrated. And then what followed was, you know, starting with the Watts riot in 64. Oh, was it 64 or 65?
65. Summer of 65.
Yeah. And then you had, 66 and 67. You had Newark, Detroit, other cities in America exploding. So the civil rights laws actually made African Americans more frustrated because the equality under the law didn't bring forth economic equality. And, you know, there was just that frustration. So that changed. Then you had the Vietnam War. The idea that Kennedy was going to withdraw the advisors, I think there were 16,000 at the time of his death, has been challenged by many historians, and that Lyndon Johnson followed Kennedy's program.
Many people believe, absolutely.
But Lyndon Johnson dug his heels in much more than JFK would have. And it's a question of belief because, you know, we'll never know. And then there was the frustration about the Vietnam War. America was split in two, as you know, Peter. On the left, you withdraw and claim victory. The other one was to America had just won the second, you know, powerful nation in the world, most powerful nation. It had JFK had made the Soviets back down with the Cuban Missile Crisis in 62.
That's always a fight, too. Did
so you have
just
this powerful nation, the United States, rich economically, rich in terms of its military, you know, a giant on the world stage. And so on the right, you had people saying, including Johnson, we can't back down. You know, Johnson was equating the Vietnam War with the Alamo at that time, remember.
Yeah, sure.
You know, we won't withdraw. So that formed, you know, the big stage, the civil rights in Vietnam. And the big stage also was made worse by the outbreaks of violence. I remember the Richard Speck killing, the Charles Whitman climbing the Austin Tower and shooting. You had all kinds of criminal activities going on, and then you had the mob on top of that. So it was a period of turmoil. America was going, because a lot of things were loosed. You had the freedom of youth. Youth were more demanding. They were freeing themselves from their parents, whose generation, you know, was the Second World War generation. All of these things happened, and it brought America into real turmoil. I mean, we both lived through it, Peter.
Yeah. No, our guest is Mel Eaton, and this idea, which I think is very true in history, that all is prelude. Everything that we're watching today is simply the prelude to the next. I just finished a book last week entitled Washington at War about Franklin Roosevelt and the men around him. And this guy's a brilliant historian. And he just goes up to the, I'm thinking, okay, I'm down to the last 15, 20 pages of the book. And I'm thinking, okay, how's he going to end it? How's he going to land the plane, right? And he just gets up to Roosevelt dies. And then it begins again. And it was such a stunning ending by a great historian that, you know, they're in Warm Springs, you know, his perhaps his mistress, if he is still capable, certainly his close woman friend is there. And, you know, and back to the media talking about John Kennedy, every guy that covered FDR knew about what was going on. And I think
the people
that covered Jack Kennedy, remember, the press corps are white males who, a lot of them are Second World War guys. They're big supporters of Jack Kennedy's. They themselves have their lives with women other than their wives, or and they're drinking and all the stuff. And they see themselves as protectors of Jack, just as though, you know, the press corps did protecting FDR, with one or two exceptions. But after Pearl Harbor, everybody protects FDR. And comes this time, I mean, Gary Hart, and it's the great line that when Gary Hart did what Gary Hart did, that was nickels and dimes compared to what Jack Kennedy did. But the press was different. Now there were minority people and women in the press corps, and we had come through Watergate. Woodward and Bernstein had set the standard. So the stuff that Gary Hart was getting away with all the time, he gets clipped. The one guy that's interesting in all of that, of course, is Bill Clinton. Me Too has always left Bill Clinton alone, which is, you know, part of the aspects of politics. But come back to what my question that I ask you with Mel Ayton with us. This moment where I think John Kennedy is whacked, murdered, assassinated, that sets it off. And I don't know if the nation has righted itself since that moment. You know, we talk about, you know, America at Pearl Harbor, that the attack wakes this country up. But, you know, and now I don't know where we are. I don't know what this is about. And I think it goes back to a jumping off point. And I don't know if it's Nixon quitting or Jack Kennedy's murder or, you know, any series of events. But I'm stuck on Jack Kennedy. Your thoughts?
Well, it was certainly a turning point, Peter.
Yeah.
A turning point in American history. After the assassination of John Kennedy and, you know, the accession to the throne, as it were, with Lyndon Johnson.
But it all changes then. It totally changes.
But
yeah.
You also had a lot of Americans just couldn't accept Lyndon Johnson because of his background.
Well, Bobby Kennedy hated him. But But he wins an overwhelming victory against Barry Goldwater.
Well, he did. Yeah. I think that was partly because of the fear of nuclear war.
Sure.
They exaggerated Barry Goldwater's comments.
Yeah.
Remember the Republican convention?
Sure.
San Francisco's Cow Palace, 64.
Sure. Yeah.
And he said, what was it again? Peter, you'll have to remind me. Virtue and the defense of...
Yeah, there's no... That's right.
Remember?
Yeah.
So that's combined with... some of the statements on facing down the Soviets really sort of made people frightened. Yeah. So it was partly because they elected a right-wing, I wouldn't say use the term extremist, but a right-wing politician. That's why Johnson got the landslide.
Yeah, but I always remember Barry Goldwater.
Deep down, though, they didn't like Johnson's character and the idea that he was a Texan. He was corny. I think Jacqueline Kennedy called him Mr. Cornpone.
Absolutely. That's right. Colonel or Mr. Yeah. But here's Barry Goldwater, who to me is an interesting character. Barry Goldwater, in the aftermath, Barry Goldwater said, well, they said if I won, there would be riots in the streets of America and young men would be dying in South Vietnam. He said, I lost.
Yes.
It was a great line. I lost. Yeah,
well, a very ironic statement.
I lost. Yeah, so
absolutely.
Come because of time. Of the three murders or assassinations, Dr. King's, Bobby Kennedy's, and Jack Kennedy's, to me, and taking nothing away from the others, the murder of John Kennedy sets it off. And I think the Dr. King murder, I still have a lot of questions about that, and the murder of Bob Kennedy, I think you've done a terrific job with that, Mel. But what would you like
Thank
to
you,
know?
Peter.
No,
Thank
please. What would you like to know about John Kennedy's murder? What one or two things would you really like to know?
Well, a lot of what I mean, you know, I've written about the President Kennedy assassination myself. My first book was, I don't know, about 20 years ago, something like that, on that subject. Since then, David von Pine and myself got together. He's like a real expert on. You'll have to go to his website, David von Pine. His last name is spelled P-E-I-N. Now, I got together with David. We both put our expertise together, and we produced a book called Beyond Reasonable Doubt.
Yeah, I know the book.
The reason why I wrote that book, it was after Vincent Bugliosi's book, which I call the definitive book on the assassination. It's a 1,600-page tome. I think I've mentioned this before, Peter. It really goes into everything. And one of the reasons I believe that people still have suspicions is because they haven't read Vincent Bugliosi's book. But the reason I David and I wrote this book called Beyond Reasonable Doubt was simply it's to provide access to the general public. There were some things that, you know, Vincent Bugliosi missed out in his book that, you know, I think I provide, especially concerning Lee Harvey Oswald's motive and the wealth of evidence to back that up. But generally, it was people wouldn't pick up a 1,600-page book, but I believe they would pick up ours, which was a 300-page book. But it's you know, the yeah, I'm in line with what Vincent Bugliosi has, his research. So this, the question is, Peter, have I still got questions? Yeah. Well, you know, everybody still has questions about every historical event. We'd like to know a little bit more. All I can say is that I think I'm satisfied to, you know, the standards of history. That Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. He was a lone gunman. He loved intrigue and suspicion. When he was a kid, he used to watch the, you know, this series on TV about spies. And he have intrigue around him. He went to the Soviet Union. Yeah. He lived a strange life. Yeah. All of these things occurred. The CIA had an interest in him, but the CIA didn't want to reveal their blunders and not follow. The same with the FBI. The FBI had an interest in him, but it was all about embarrassment for these agencies. Made mistakes.
How's the last question? I forget the significant number of Americans that are aware of it that reject the Warren Report. I reject the Warren Report. Am I correct in rejecting Earl Warren, or should I be accepting him?
No. I think the Warren Report can be accepted on not to an extreme level, not to an extremely high level, but it can be accepted. The faults in the Warren Commission report stem from the embarrassment of various agencies in not dealing with, including the Secret Service.
Or Hoover.
And not following Lee, you know, the antics of Lee Harvey Oswald closely, not doing what they should have been doing, which is to make sure that the president's security was absolutely watertight in terms of people who threatened him. You know, to cut a long story short, that's the fault of the Warren Commission. Warren Commission
I struggle
was
with those
lied
guys.
To.
Yeah.
But in terms of the actual, you know, the actual premise of the commission, the actual end report, you know, it got the story right.
As a final, then I know we'll talk again real soon. I want to believe you, but and this is not about you and I as people. I don't believe that. I mean, the Warren. And you see what I'm saying? I mean, and this with love.
Well, that's fine.
No, in respect. I so respect your work. I just reject that. I mean. The Warren, the other commission is 9/11 commission report, which is totally flawed. The one that Cheney and Bush put together to explain 9/11, totally flawed.
Yep.
And the Warren Commission the role that Edgar Hoover plays in the Warren Commission is so suspect. And I don't know.
But you have to remember, Peter, that, look, in famous crimes, what follows are bureaucracies with millions of pages of documents, millions of, hundreds, if not thousands of witnesses. Now, in these big investigations, it's inevitable that you're going to have some anomalies. Same thing happened with the FBI investigation of Robert Kennedy and the LAPD Special Unit Senate investigation. Because there were so many witnesses, there were so many people. Sometimes, you know, with witnesses, you can't read from the chop.
I agree.
Some were very flaky.
I agree.
But then you've got to track down whether they, you know, whether they, these people are credible. And then you get a lot. It's like, you know, the Robert Kennedy assassination, I've been dealing with these files. I mean, they were literally, it could fill a room.
Oh, and it did. And it does. I got to pull the pin. Well, in 2 weeks, we'll do this again, and maybe on a Friday, and we can spend more time. Mel, I have so much respect for your work. I don't want to leave on a note that you think I'm calling you, because I'm not.
No, of course not, Peter. I respect people who, certainly with the JFK assassination, I think people should reconsider the Martin Luther King, those who believe in existing, reconsider the Martin Luther King assassination. For the Martin Luther King assassination, I don't just recommend my book on the subject, but Gerald Posner's. And for the Robert Kennedy assassination, if they take together my book, The Forgotten Terrorist, the second edition, which just published this last month, and Dan Mulder's The Killing of Robert Kennedy, if they take those two books, they'll understand completely what happened with the Robert Kennedy assassination. Mm-hmm. I accept that the JFK assassination, there are still
huge
anomalies.
Problem.
Files still haven't been released, although the last batch, there was no, you know, smoking gun at all. But read Vincent Bugliosi's book on reclaiming history.
I have done that too. Mel, thank
you for your kind words.
Oh, man, you're the best.
I appreciate it.
No, please. You have no idea. My respect's immense. Thank you, sir. Be safe. Thank you. Everyone, hang on. 710 KNUS.
Go to 710KNUS.com to download our free mobile app and listen to 710 KNUS on your phone anytime, anywhere. Message and data rates apply. Now, back to the Peter Boyle Show.
Shift it. 6:52, 8 minutes before 7. 710 KNUS Wednesday morning, 26th of June, 2019. Tonight, 2 out of 3 falls. The first go-round in the debate. And Mark Crowley joins us, 710 KNUS, the boss, and the virtual debate watch party. Good morning, sir. And how does this thing work if we want to watch it together?
Well, it's all done from the comfort of your own home,
there
which is nice. You just tune in to, I think it's, I don't know, MSNBC or NBC's putting it on TV tonight.
Right.
And we have set up a hashtag on Twitter, hashtag KNUS debate. And we're dubbing it Send in the Clowns as 10 people who we don't even know who they are going to try to convince us that they should be the next president of the United States and carry the nuclear football. But bottom line is, we want folks to carry on a conversation on Twitter using hashtag KNUS debate, and all of our hosts, I know Stefan is already geared up to be having the conversation on Twitter, and it's always a lot of fun just to watch people come up with some great one-liners as the candidates make fools out of themselves tonight.
Don't you think? I mean, Donald Trump's going to do this. Donald Trump's going to beep the whole time.
Oh, yeah. I mean he'll be at Real Donald Trump on Twitter. He'll be very active tonight, I'm sure.
We've talked about it this morning in open lines, and the notion is bash Trump. But it's going to be the first debate is tonight, second debate. There's so many of them. But I love, then you tell me what you think, that they claim that the groups split up into 10 were chosen or claimed it was all done by random picks.
I doubt it.
I started to laugh. I said, no.
They don't do anything without absolute 100% motive.
Well said. And so one more time, how do people join in this tonight?
All they got to do is just log into their Twitter account, and every time they make a tweet concerning the debate tonight, just use the hashtag KNUS debate. And we'll be streaming the Twitter feed on our website. So you can watch both the debate, and we'll have what is known as a Twitter wall.
There you go.
And so all of those comments will be streaming right on our homepage.
I'm going to watch it. I'm not one of the – I mean, I want to watch it. I don't know if I can watch tomorrow night, but I'll watch tonight. But tomorrow night, the hometown boys go. Michael Bennett and John Hickenlooper go tomorrow night. And tonight I said, who's the first – my overs and unders are who's the first person to cry about the children at the border? And Casey said take
– Cory Booker.
You did too. Cory Booker in the points.
Yep.
He'll cry tonight, but – who gets to say anything about anybody? And it should be fun in a politically correct way to watch. If you didn't read it, our new column's up on 710knus.com. Thanks to me.
And it's a good one.
You like mine?
I do. I read it.
The new column's entitled, "What Would Hillary? What do Hillary Clinton, Phil Anschutz, and Bill Owens have in common?" And got a little heat for it, which means I'm hitting on something. And anyhow, so it'll be good stuff. I'm going to watch it tonight. I got my plans. And it goes at what, 7, I think.
7 o'clock, yeah, I think, yep.
Tonight. Yeah, I wasn't sure. And then they come back Thursday night with Michael Bennett and Smokin' Joe. And they can all turn on Joe Biden. He's a white guy, so you can turn on him. The other guys get a pass. So
and my question is, will he babble?
Joe, I mean,
I don't know, because he was really stumbling over his words the other day.
Well, Joe's worried. I mean, Joe's... You know, they made him the front runner, but now the big media has turned on Joe.
Yeah.
And they're talking about his kid and all this other stuff and what Joe did. But the rules tonight will be who can beat up Donald Trump, who can hate Donald Trump the most. And that person will win. And so if you watch this first debate, of course, tonight, Cory Booker, the highlights are Bill de Blasio, who was unbelievable, Beto O'Rourke, Elizabeth Warren. And then tomorrow night is Michael Bennett, Joe Biden. Isn't it interesting that all these old white guys get up there together? They're not separated. Bernie Sanders is tomorrow night, Michael Bennett, Biden, John Hickenlooper. And why aren't these guys tonight? Well, because it was random selection.
Right.
Right. Okay. Let's turn around. And there's a new piece out on the market, and it's called Time to Sweep Socialism Back into History's Dustbin. And then the guy who wants to be the next mayor of Aurora coming in, 710 KNUS.